this morning, two different scriptures this morning. First of all, from Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And also Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would just give us wisdom as we try to balance, Lord, our obligations today to obey governing authorities, but also obey you, Lord, when government is not acting according to your word. And Lord, in these very, very confusing times that we are living in, I pray you just show us all the considerations that we need to make, not just people's health, but rights and obligation to you, obligation to country, business, economy, people's lives, Lord, so much. I pray you just help us to straighten it out today and take a stand for the rights that you've given us. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last month, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves said that in spite of the statewide stay-at-home order in Mississippi, Christians there could still have parking lot church services as long as they stayed in their car, parked 6 feet apart with the windows rolled up, practicing social distancing guidelines. But then the mayor and city council of Greenville, Mississippi, banned all kinds of church services, including parking lot services, saying Christians still had access to worship by live stream on social media. But then last Wednesday, April the 8th, Pastor Arthur Scott and Temple Baptist Church held a parking lot service anyway, because his congregation is all old people that don't have smartphones. So he rigged up a transmitter and preached from inside the church to about 60 people sitting in their cars in the parking lot outside the church with the windows rolled up, parked 6 feet apart, just exactly like the governor said. But then about 10 minutes into his sermon, city police came along and started giving everybody in their car a $500 fine for violating city ordinance. And people, that didn't happen in New York or California. That happened in Mississippi, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And Pastor Arthur Scott said this, "I just can't believe it. I've been here 45 years. I've never complained before, never stirred up a stink before, but I told the mayor, I'm going to fight him on this." And you know what, Christians? We need to be fighting too. Right now, the coronavirus is cutting a swath all across America, and Americans really are under attack. But you know what? So is the U.S. Constitution. And not by COVID-19, but by government officials who are hell-bent on using this crisis to take away our constitutional rights and freedoms, all in the name of saving lives. And Christians, if we don't realize what's going on and start pushing back, those rights and freedoms are going to be taken away from us, and we are never going to get them back again. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and Acts chapter 5, verse 29, two different scriptures, two different principles that we need to weigh and balance against each other and follow in this whole coronavirus controversy. And they tell us three things that we need to do in order to protect our rights and protect the lives of people at the same time in this crazy age that we're living in. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to protect our rights, we need to realize we have rights that need to be protected. And I need to say this from the very start. COVID-19 is real. It is not a hoax. 30,000 Americans have died from it already, and more Americans will die from it. And every single death is tragic and heartbreaking. Sue and I know people who are sick. We know doctors and nurses right now who are fighting on the front lines. There are people from this church who have loved ones in nursing homes and group homes they're worried about. People from this church who could not be with a loved one when they were having surgery in a hospital. Spouses who could not be with their spouse when the spouse was dying in a hospital. I lost an uncle last week in Champaign, Illinois. Family couldn't be with him either. COVID-19 is very contagious. It can kill very quickly. You can have it and be spreading it for almost a week before you even know you have any symptoms. It is very serious. Don't write me. Don't call me. I get it. People's lives are at stake. But you know what? Millions of other people's lives and the life of this country is at stake too. And don't try to pretend that that doesn't matter or shouldn't be taken into consideration also, because this country is dying. Government, not President Donald Trump, but state governors purposely took the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world and turned it off. And what's the result? 22 million Americans today are unemployed. One out of three Americans cannot pay their rent. Cars are lined up at food banks for miles and miles. This is government-enforced poverty. People, we are looking at the second Great Depression. Businesses are failing. And don't you dare underestimate that, because for a lot of people, a job is not just a paycheck. It's their calling from God. And a measly $1,200 from the federal government is not going to make up for that. Hundreds of millions of Americans shut up in their houses. Depression, suicide, domestic violence going through the roof. We're trying to save some people's lives, but we're destroying millions of more people's lives in the process. Talk about the cure being worse than the disease. Over 98% of Americans who get COVID-19 will recover from it. But the question is America going to recover from it? Yes, safety does matter, but it's not the only thing that matters. And people have a right to demand that their government does not destroy their own country. Because we do have rights enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. And because those rights come from God and not from government, government cannot take those rights away. See the cartoon? Founding fathers writing the Constitution, and one of them says, none of this counts if people get sick, right? Yes, it does count. For sure it counts. You say, but Kevin, the first right that our founding fathers mentioned was life. Yeah, but our founding fathers said the same God who gave us life also gave us liberty. And even though life is mentioned first and liberty second, where do the founding fathers ever say we should sacrifice the second one in order to have the first one? Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You say, but Kevin, over 30,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. Yeah, but in the 244-year history of the United States, over 1.1 million Americans have died to defend our rights and freedoms. You're telling me those deaths don't mean anything? Of course they do. Now, a lot of our rights we find in the First Amendment that lists out six freedoms that we have that government cannot take away, including the right to go to church. Because three of these freedoms have everything to do with going to church: freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and freedom of expression. See the other cartoon. Founding fathers with the Constitution, one said, I added, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And another one says, oh, also add, except for coronavirus. No. I understand one of government's responsibilities is to try to help save people's lives. But government also has a responsibility to protect and defend individual rights and freedoms too. Government was made for people, not the other way around. And government is only supposed to rule by the consent of the governed. So I don't know about you, but I want my rights back. Now, is there a time when government can take your rights away? Yeah. During times of national emergency, if government can present a compelling interest, our rights can be set aside temporarily. Temporarily. So last month, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a mandate closing all non-essential businesses and issuing a stay-at-home order that bans all unnecessary travel. And of course, churches were considered non-essential because Christians could still have access to worship by live streaming on social media, even though it's not the same and they know it. But because you want to be a good neighbor, And because you do not want to spread any potential virus there may be in your congregation, and to try to be a good witness, and because Romans 13:1 says obey governing authorities, last March the 19th, your church council made a decision to close this church. And I'm not even saying we shouldn't have closed for a while. But folks, it's going to be 6 weeks now. And more likely 8, and maybe even longer than that. And I know some churches are never going to reopen because they cannot afford to take the loss and the offerings that they missed. And where's the government program to bail out churches? And now we have to depend on a very liberal governor to tell us when we can open up. And what's stopping him now from ever closing churches again in the future? Don't anybody get me wrong. I have got all the compassion in the world for people who are sick and people who are dying. Reaching out to hurting people is my life. But I want my rights back. And you should too. Because you give government free rein, it is Katie bar the door. Last month, Big Brother, the Health Department of Mendocino County, California, issued a ruling closing all churches for regular worship, claiming that churches could still put worship on live stream on the internet, Christians would still have access to it. But last week, that health department also came out with rules for how the live streaming was also supposed to be done by the pastors, musicians, singers, and tech people. And here's just a few of their rules. More than 3 persons cannot be present in the church and must maintain at least 6 feet of distance from each other, frequently washing hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds or as frequently as possible, or using hand sanitizer. All coughs and sneezes must be done into sleeves and not into hands. Persons may not shake or touch others' hands. All surfaces must be regularly cleaned. All persons not on camera must wear facial coverings. No singing or use of wind instruments that could spread COVID-19 through projected droplets from the mouth unless the recording is done in one's own household with members of one's own family only. People, it's crazy. Because how in the world is a church supposed to live stream a church service with music and preaching with only 3 people? Because tech people have to be there too. And even though singing may be non-essential to non-Christians, it isn't to Christians, because the Bible tells us a very important part of real worship is making a joyful noise to the Lord. Psalm chapter 100 verse 2. And where do non-Christians get off forcing their beliefs on us Christians? And especially on 3 Christians 6 feet apart in an empty church. And how in the world are they going to enforce those rules? By deputizing regular citizens to spy on each other? Oh wait, California's already doing that. And we all know what's going on here. The Constitution very clearly supports our Christians' rights to freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of expression. But liberals in America today who hate the Constitution and who hate Christianity are constantly trying to read things into the Constitution like imaginary restrictions that they can use to gradually regulate Christianity to death in America. Big Brother just keeps growing and growing and growing. But what's going to happen when that health department realizes their rules didn't go far enough? Because pastors also project droplets from their mouth whenever they preach a sermon. And some of us more than others. Liberals gonna do what liberals gonna do. And right now, liberals are trying to use this crisis to take away our constitutional rights as Christians. And Christians, listen to me, don't you dare let them take your rights away without a fight. And that fight starts just as soon as we realize that we have them. The first thing that we need to do in order to protect our rights, we need to realize we have rights. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to do in order to protect our rights. We not only need to realize that we have them, we also need to realize those rights are being taken away. Taken away by scaring people into giving them up. Day after day after day, the trained SEALs in the media keep fueling the panic, giving us one apocalyptic report after another about how the world's coming to an end. Day after day, how many more people got sick and how many more people died, and flashing red lights to show us all the hot zones and the hospitals are being overrun. There's not enough doctors. There's not enough ventilators. They're digging mass graves with bulldozers in New York City just to bury the dead. And why all the hysteria? Machiavelli said this, people will obey you when they fear you, not when they love you. It's to keep us scared, it's to keep us in line, and to keep us at home. They're taking our rights away by lying to us. Because every single day we get data and data and data with no context whatsoever to properly interpret it or understand it. 99% of Americans will never get COVID-19. Over 98% of those who do get it will recover from it, and over 85% of those who recover will not require any hospitalization at all. And over 88% of COVID-19 victims are either elderly or have serious pre-existing medical conditions that make them especially susceptible to infection. And you never, ever, ever, ever hear that reported. Ever. They're cooking the numbers. Last week, New York City classified 3,700 more deaths as COVID-19 deaths, even though those people had never been diagnosed with COVID-19. All the so-called experts and scientists and all their models are always wrong. World Health Organization told us last month 2 million Americans were going to die from COVID-19. Then they adjusted it down to 1.5 million, then to 1 million. Last March, the Center for Disease Control predicted this. 214 million Americans, 65% of the population, will be infected with COVID-19. 2.4 million Americans will be hospitalized for it, and 324,000 Americans will die from COVID-19. But then, according to Johns Hopkins University, just this past Tuesday, only 609,000 Americans, 0.002% of the population, have been infected by COVID-19. Only 60,000 Americans have been hospitalized for it, and only 33,000 Americans have died from it, not 324,000, quite a difference. And meanwhile, ever since October of 2019 until now, 56 million Americans have been infected by the flu. Over 740,000 Americans have been hospitalized because of the flu. And over 61,000 Americans have died because of the flu. So you tell me, why is COVID-19 a pandemic and the flu isn't? You say, well, Kevin, the reason the COVID-19 numbers are so low is because of the stay-at-home order that you're crying about. No, because studies from Johns Hopkins University and also from Bonn have shown that the stay-at-home order would hardly made any difference at all to the people who are most susceptible to it, and it hurt even more people by not allowing them to develop an immunity to it. Folks, our government has never gone ape like this about anything else ever before. And too much of the reaction is all based on lies. All the hospitals in New York City have not been overrun. Doctors and nurses there right now are being laid off for lack of patients. They're donating 5,000 ventilators to foreign countries. The mass graves in New York City were only for the homeless people who died. U.S. Navy hospital ships in New York City and Los Angeles have hardly been used at all. And outside of New York City and Chicago and a few other metropolitan places, the vast majority of the United States of America is not a hot spot by a long shot. North Carolina has 11 million residents. They've had exactly 331 hospitalizations for COVID-19. Here in LaSalle County, Illinois, we have 109,000 people in this county. 26 cases of COVID-19, 16 of them from Sheridan Prison. Now again, every sickness, every death is tragic. But folks, let me ask you, do those numbers justify destroying this country and the lives of tens of millions of Americans and taking away our constitutional rights? No. But that is exactly what's happening. Because too many government leaders are tearing up the Constitution and making a decision that our rights and freedoms are hazardous to our health, all in the name of saving lives. Malibu, California. Police used 2 boats and 3 squad cars to arrest a man for potentially spreading the coronavirus because he was out in the ocean paddleboarding all by himself. And just a side note, Don't blame the police for this because too many of them are just doing what they're told. Brighton, Colorado, a former state trooper was arrested for breaking social distancing guidelines and endangering the lives of other people because he was playing catch with a 6-year-old daughter in an empty park. This past week, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer banned the sale of garden seeds and flower pots in the state of Michigan. And she made it a crime with a fine up to $1,000 if you walked outside of your house and went next door to visit your next door neighbor. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, 336 people got arrested in Michigan for fishing in Michigan. Because what do you think this is? A free country? And folks, it's not COVID-19 doing this. It's government that's doing this. Last month, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio told Christians if they didn't stop worshiping in their churches, he was going to close their churches permanently. Like, he has the power to do that. And they say President Trump is a dictator. And where's the ACLU in all of this? Some guy wants to pretend to be a woman so he can use a girl's bathroom. The ACLU's all over it. But Christians having their religious freedom taken away, cue the crickets. Nothing to see there. Last Sunday, we tried to have a parking lot service here at Fox River for Easter Sunday. But the state police told us even though we would be following all the social distancing guidelines, coming to and going from that service would be considered unnecessary travel. Which is a funny thing, because La Salle, Peru, just the day before, had an Easter Bunny parade. And that wasn't considered unnecessary travel? And this is what's wrong here. If a law applies to a religious group, the same law has to apply to a non-religious group. Because this is the United States of America. Or at least it used to be. Now, all the pot shops are open all over America. And traveling to and from the pot shops, that's not considered unnecessary travel. Even though smoking marijuana weakens your immune system and makes you even more susceptible to infection from COVID-19. But hey, at least it's not as dangerous as Christians sitting hermetically sealed in their vehicle with the windows rolled up in a church parking lot on a Sunday morning. Because that could start a pandemic. People, this is crazy. Government's even taken away our right to try to recover from this. Somebody in Springfield needs to wake up and realize the rest of the state of Illinois is not Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Yes, protect and isolate all the elderly, the people with the pre-existing medical conditions, and the people who are most susceptible, and then let everybody else gradually, very carefully, methodically, go back to work. Because Americans can figure this out. Aldi's now has their cashiers wearing plastic masks and plastic gloves sitting behind a plastic shield. Ford Motor Company now has their employees wearing bracelets that vibrate when they come within 6 feet of another person. A very wise woman named Mary Hendrickson once said, "We're all adults here. We can figure this out." And Americans, we better figure this out because security without liberty is called prison. And Christians, we need to do something about it. Like they did. Remember Temple Baptist Church, Greenville, Mississippi? They didn't just roll over and let their rights be taken away from them because they immediately filed a lawsuit against the mayor and the city council and the police of Greenville. Because Governor Tate Reeves said they could have a parking lot church service as long as they followed all the social distancing guidelines, which is exactly what they were doing. And what do you know? Just last Monday, U.S. Attorney General William Barr agreed with them and said what the police and the city council did to that church was unconstitutional. Because you cannot use a law to single out religious gatherings of people while letting non-religious gatherings of people completely slide, which is exactly what the police did there. Because less than 200 yards from that church in Greenville is a Sonic drive-in. A restaurant that's still allowed to be open because it is a drive-in. but 24/7 there are people at that drive-in in cars closer than 6 feet apart with the windows rolled down talking to each other, not practicing social distancing at all. And none of them ever got a $500 ticket. You cannot use a law to target and punish only Christians. William Barr said this, "Even in times of emergency, when reasonable restrictions are placed on rights, the First Amendment and federal law prohibit discrimination against religious believers. Thus, government cannot impose special restrictions on religious activity that do not also apply to non-religious activity. A free society always depends on a vibrant religious life by the people." And after that, the mayor of Greenville told the people of Temple Baptist Church they could tear their tickets up. A free society also depends on free people standing up and fighting for their rights in order to stay free. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now, you say, "Kevin, you're talking about a church service." No. I'm not just talking about going to church. I'm talking about your right to go to church. I'm talking about all your rights, period. Yes, Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says, "Obey governing authorities as long as they're governing right." But when the governing authorities are governing wrong and taking your rights away, Christians, we need to stand up to them and correct them. The second thing we need to do in order to protect our rights, we need to realize our rights are being taken away. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do in order to protect our rights. We not only need to realize we have them, we not only need to realize they're being taken away, but third, we've got to stand up for our rights. Acts 5:29, when government disobeys God, we must obey God rather than men. And Christians, we need to stand up for our rights because sadly enough, there are millions of people in this country right now who do not want this nation to recover from this. Remember Rahm Emanuel's famous line, "Never let a serious crisis go to waste." That is exactly what all kinds of other liberal leaders are saying today. Exactly the same thing. Representative James Clyburn said this, "This is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things according to our vision." California Governor Gavin Newsom said this, "This is a way to get a lot of things done for the progressive agenda." And of course, they're talking about using this crisis to move America towards socialism. Socialism, progressivism, the same thing. Churches are closed. People living off of government checks. Government making up any rules they want to. Government telling you what you have to do and where you have to go. This is socialist heaven. And you see the agenda out there. You see the agenda and all the blowback against opening up the country again. Liberal state governors constantly extending the stay-at-home order further and further and further. Wisconsin, it's now May the 31st. With Illinois, it's going to be May the 15th, and maybe even longer than that. And J.B. Pritzker extends it because right now he's claiming Illinois' bloated debt is all due to COVID-19, and he wants the federal government to bail out the state. You say, "Kevin, are you honestly saying that there are some governors in America who are purposely trying to sabotage the nation's economic recovery?" You bet your life, because this is the best opportunity they've had for socialism since the Great Depression. And we hear all the excuses that everybody is making. Well, we can't open up the country because the experts say that a second wave of infection could kill 300,000 Americans by August. Yeah, the same experts who said America was going to be the Valley of Armageddon by now. And living in fear is not living at all. Well, it's just not worth the risk of losing any more people. Folks, America was built on risk. There are people from this church who risk their lives driving Interstate 55 back and forth to work every day. More people are going to die of COVID-19 in this country, whether we open up America again or not. And 7,116 Americans die every day as it is. And every single year, we accept millions of American deaths as just a sad part of life. Last year, 655,381 Americans died from heart disease. 599,274 Americans died from cancer. 488,656 died from smoking. 159,486 died from respiratory diseases. 147,810 died from strokes. And we never closed the country over that. 2.3 million Americans die every single year from accidents and injuries on the job. And again, every single death is tragic. But does that mean that everybody else stops working altogether? Folks, our founding fathers fought and won the Revolutionary War in the midst of a smallpox epidemic, for crying out loud. So I think we can do this. I think we can open up the country again. People, we are never going to be able to create a perfect world where absolutely nobody ever gets sick and dies, no matter how much power we give government. Because that perfect world is never going to happen until Jesus comes back. Well, Kevin, we just need to stay the course. We just need to stay home. Remember when we were originally told that we needed to stay home in order to flatten the curve so we don't overwhelm the healthcare system with too many COVID-19 patients? Well, if you listen carefully, now we're being told we need to stay home until nobody ever dies of COVID-19 again. Governor J.B. Pritzker said this, "Optional large gatherings may never happen again until we get everybody tested." Well, how long is it going to take to test 330 million Americans? Superstar Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's at all the White House press conferences, said this, "We're not sure we can even start to reopen the country by late fall, or if we can even hold elections this coming November." And my question is, who elected Dr. Fauci to be in charge of our lives and in charge of our country? That would be nobody. Last Wednesday night on ABC Evening News, billionaire Bill Gates said this, "Just stay the course like we are now, and by late 2021, we'll start going back to normal." Are you kidding me? People, that's crazy. There's not enough policemen and National Guard in the entire United States to keep hundreds of millions of Americans cooped up in their houses like they are now for another year and a half. And even if they could, there wouldn't be a country left anyway. But see, there's another agenda here. Back in 2008, Bill Gates left Microsoft to try to become the savior of the world. And with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he decided that the way to save the world was by global vaccinations. So in 2010, along with the World Health Organization and dozens of world leaders, he started the Decade of Vaccine Collaboration and wreaked havoc in the third world with all kinds of experimental vaccines that maimed and killed and forcibly sterilized tens of thousands of people in Mexico, Nicaragua, Africa, India, the Philippines, you name it, because one of Bill Gates' goals is zero population growth, population control. But now Bill Gates is saying that COVID-19 crisis requires a global response, which means vaccinating every single person in the planet with a vaccine that his company is developing right now. And he needs 18 months to build 7 factories to produce all the vaccine necessary. That's why he wants you to stay in your house for another 18 months. And that's also why Bill Gates is so deaf on things like hydroxychloroquine and any other drug that might possibly treat COVID-19. And now that President Donald Trump has defunded the World Health Organization, you know who the top donor is to the WHO right now? That's Bill Gates. So he is large and in charge. And do you know who one of Bill Gates' best friends is? Dr. Anthony Fauci, CDC, WHO, and board member on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You say, Kevin, that's just conspiracy theory. No, that's what you call conspiracy fact. And part of Bill Gates' plan, everybody who gets the COVID-19 vaccine also gets what he calls a digital certificate, a digital identity, a microchip implanted in their hand. And I am not making this up. Bill Gates himself calls it an immunity card. An immunity card that proves that you've had the COVID-19 vaccine. Proof that you are going to need when the country opens again. Because if you don't have that chip, you can't go back to work. You can't get a job. You can't get a credit card to buy or sell anything. You won't be able to get married. You won't be able to get a student loan. You won't be able to walk onto an airplane or go on a vacation or to a movie theater or the Chicago Cubs game. You won't be able to move around freely at all, even though the First Amendment already gives us the right to do those things and the freedom to do those things, or at least it's supposed to. And if you think I'm kidding about this, millions of people in the third world have already had those chips implanted in their hands as part of Bill Gates' program called the ID 2020 Alliance. And of course, with those chips, government can use them then to track you and monitor all your activity and basically control every single aspect of your life. Can everybody say, Mark of the Beast? Christians, you don't think we need to stand up? I don't know about you, but I want to be free. And if I can't live and serve Jesus Christ in a free way, if I cannot freely do that, what is the point of being at all? What is the point of being to start with? And the good news is, people all over America now are standing up. This past week, there were protests at state capitals in Columbus, Ohio, and Lansing, Michigan. Dozens of more places just yesterday. Senators in Pennsylvania overrode the governor's extension of the stay-at-home order there. Montana only has 400 cases of COVID-19. So when the city council in Missoula, Montana demanded that everybody wear a pink armband as proof that they had spent 14 days in quarantine, the people rose up and said, the heck with this, enough is enough, and they stopped it. Come a time, Christians, we've got to stand up for our rights too. Just like they are. In case anybody doesn't know, Samaritan's Purse is one of the ministries of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association under the leadership of Franklin Graham. And for decades, Samaritan's Purse has done relief work all over the planet. Floods, famines, hurricanes, plagues, you name it, they've been there helping. And last April the 1st, when New York Governor Andrew Cuomo made an appeal for medical help for COVID-19 patients in New York City, Samaritan's Purse stepped up and volunteered to build a 7-tent, 68-bed emergency field hospital in Central Park. Stand by 70 nurses and doctors and medical specialists, all the necessary medical equipment you could imagine, all for absolutely no charge whatsoever, totally free. Because that's just what Samaritan's Purse does, out of love for Jesus Christ and out of love for people. And they're also offering at that hospital counseling for people who need help to deal with the crisis. And they also offer to pray with people and they share the gospel with people who are open to that. And you would think that the people of New York City would be grateful for the help. But just to prove that no good deed goes unpunished, New Yorkers jumped all over Samaritan's Purse. And especially because they require all their volunteers to sign on to a statement of faith. And one of the provisions is that marriage consists of a man and a woman, just like the Bible says. And people in New York City started labeling Samaritan's Purse in that hospital a hate group and a hate zone. 8 Democrat congressmen from New York had an absolute cow. The Human Rights Commission of the city was throwing a fit. Every single day, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio would send city officials over to that hospital to make sure that Samaritan's Purse was not denying anybody treatment based on their sexual orientation. A gay activist stood out in front of that hospital with a big sign that said, hate won't heal. And another sign said, hope and not hate. People, who in the world is providing hope here? And who in the world is doing the hating? Good gravy, people, if I was drowning in the ocean, I wouldn't care who it is that was throwing me a life preserver. 70 Christian men and women volunteering their time, risking their lives to treat any and all COVID-19 patients, no matter who they sleep with, all in the name of Jesus, for totally free. And all they're getting is grief. Gee, you're welcome. And Samaritan's Purse is constantly having to stop and show documents and prove credentials, constantly having to fight for their right to be there and to help people on the front lines. And they do it. And because of that, that Samaritan's Purse Hospital has healed 119 citizens of New York City from COVID-19 and saved their lives. Gee, Christians, maybe we can stand up for our rights and save people at the same time. Because there are a bunch of Christians in the church today. Christians, listen to this sermon right now. Who say over and over again, Christians should never stand up for their rights. Kevin, all you have to do is do ministry. All you have to do is show the love of Jesus. All you have to do is share the gospel. Yes, but just like Samaritan's Purse, come a time, you've got to fight for that right to do ministry. You've got to fight for that right to show the love of Jesus. Or those things ain't going to happen. And those rights are going to be taken away from us for good. Those rights to do those things are going to be gone for good, and we are never, ever, ever going to get them back. And Christians, listen to me. That time to fight is now. Yes, we need to pray. My prayer list is 10 miles long right now, instead of 5 miles long like it was 2 months ago. Yes, we need to reach out to people. Yes, we need to show the love of Jesus. Yes, we need to share the gospel. Yes, we need to obey governing authorities when governing authorities govern right. But when they govern wrong and start destroying this nation and the lives of tens of millions of Americans and start taking away our constitutional rights because government officials have an agenda, we need to stand up and fight it. How many of y'all listening today want your rights back? The storm is here. The fight has come. The time is now. Enough is enough. Who wants their rights back? And let's pray. Lord, we know that there are 25 gazillion concerns in this whole corona crisis. Lord, there's people's health. There's families separated. There's people out of jobs. There's people loss of income. People are losing their businesses. There's a whole idea that we've talked about today, constitutional rights that are involved in this. Lord, it is an absolute mess that only You can straighten out. And Lord, all we can do is we read Your Word and we see what's happening around us with eyes open. We can see all the things that we have to get done, all the things that we have to do. All the responsibilities that we have as Christians, as citizens of America and also citizens of heaven. All the responsibilities that we have to juggle and balance. And I know there are people listening to this sermon today. They could not care less about constitutional rights because they're worried about their health. They're worried about income. God, I pray that You would just see us through every single one of us Christians through this very, very difficult time. Give us wisdom to know what to say and what not to say and when to shut up and when to be quiet, when to protest and when to accept. When to stand up and when to obey. None of us has this figured out. And Lord, we cry out to You, ask for Your wisdom, ask for Your guidance. Lord, see this nation, preserve this nation so that America can continue to fund missions and evangelism all over the world. Preserve us, Lord. We ask all this in Your name and thank You. Amen.